Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Would like to call this May 12th Planning Commission meeting to order. Or, I'm sorry, June 12th.
June 9th?
Excuse me, let me try again, people. Back up here.
I think there's a point of order here.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the meeting minutes from last month. My apologies, my sincere apologies. You know, that leads right into, we like to open our meetings with a quote, as is our custom. And now you're going to understand why I chose this quote tonight. We actually have two inductees into our Planning Commission tonight. But a great quote by John Wooden. It says, "Whatever you do in life, surround yourself with smart people who will argue with you." Thank you, Kathy, and thank you. At this point, I would like to turn this meeting over to our mayor, Mr. Bob Andrews, to induct two new members to the Planning Commission tonight. Mr. Mayor.
I'll leave your mic on just for a minute so make sure we get it all recorded. But before I do that, I have one other thing I would like to do. I would like to present to our Planning Commission, I'd like to present to you, Mr. Chairman, and introduce to you our new city manager, Mr. Joe Hannon. Joe came on board with us on Monday, and welcome aboard, Joe, again. And then we have two new commissioners.
Yes, sir.
Are they doing any good?
I've only experienced one.
The
other adds.
Would you please join me? Ron Wolf and Lord.
Noel. Torres.
Please do it. And you come in adjacent
Kathy,
to the
you
flag.
You want to turn your mic on.
Do we have anybody that is taking pictures tonight? Very good. If you would raise your right hand and repeat your name when I call on him. Repeat your name. Repeat your name, please.
Ron Wolf.
Noel and Ron. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
The state of Oregon. And the ordinances of the city of Newburgh. And to the best of my ability.
Faithfully perform the duties
of a Planning Commission member. So help me God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. And one thing, if I may, Mr. Chair, would you both join me? We need you to sign your oath of office. This one is yours, Ron, in the blue pen. And there are two, so if you would sign both. Yes.
Okay.
And Noel. And our city recorder will... Which one do you give them?
The cream one. The
cream,
top.
Oh, the one
and the other goes
with the
file.
Seal on it.
Oh, but you need
Ron?
To sign, Bob.
Oh,
Bob,
I need to sign them both. Oh, my goodness.
That's all right.
Who am I?
Bob Andrews.
Tonight.
We hope you will be tomorrow as well.
Congratulations to both of you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
As our new commissioners take their seats, I would like to call for roll call.
Alan Edwards.
Here.
Jason Dale.
Here.
Kathy Stir.
Here.
Noel Torres.
Here.
Ron Wolf.
Here.
Philip Smith.
He's excused.
Gary Bliss.
Here.
Very good. Like to welcome the public tonight. See, we have some people in the audience with us. We always welcome our public. If we like to offer time, if you would like to discuss anything that is not on our agenda tonight, we ask that you come forward to the mic. If not, seeing how everyone has remained seated, I will take that no one has any public comment. So we will go ahead and move on to our consent calendar. Commissioners, if you can look at the May 12th, 2016 minutes. We have any comments? Or can we approve?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we approve the May 12th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting minutes as written.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Now go for comments, questions.
Okay. Any comments or questions on the minutes? Seeing and hearing none. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Very well, we pass the minutes. Now we're going to move on the agenda to our quasi-judicial public hearing. This is in regards to the stream corridor variance, 714 Dayton Avenue. We are here to consider a variance request to the stream corridor overlay regulations to allow a treehouse in the stream corridor. The site is within the R1 low-density residential zone and has a stream corridor overlay over most of the backyard. With a quasi-judicial public hearing, we allow a five-minute maximum testimony for those that are here to be proponents or opponents. The applicant has 15 minutes. The outline for a quasi-judicial hearing have some stuff that I am mandated by the law to read, so sit back, fasten your seat belts, and enjoy the ride. Quasi-judicial public hearing process, testimony, and evidence requirements. ORS 197.763 requires certain statements to be made at the commencement of a public hearing. The applicable city and state zoning criteria must be listed. This means that we must advise you of the standards that must be satisfied by the applicant prior to our approval of an application. The planning staff will list the applicable criteria during his or her presentation of the staff report. Persons wishing to participate in this hearing must direct their testimony or the evidence toward the criteria stated by the planner or specific city or state criteria which you believe apply. You must tell us why the testimony or evidence relates to the criteria. Any issue which might be raised in an appeal of this case to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, must be raised in person or by letter at the local level prior to the city approving or denying the application. The law states that the issue must be raised in enough detail to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond. This part of the law is known as the raise it or waive it requirement. If you do not bring it up now, you can't bring it up at LUBA. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to a proposed condition of approval in enough detail to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of the initial evidentiary hearing on an application, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony regarding the application. The Planning Commission will grant such a request through a continuance or extension of the record. Now, if you are here tonight to give testimony, we ask that you fill one of the blue sheets out in the back and turn them in to our recorder over here. If you have anybody, okay, seeing nobody moving towards the back, we do. Now we're going to receive our staff report, Mr. Steve Olson.
Sorry, wish we could do the lights remotely. It always makes it look like the planner's leaving. All right, so we have one hearing tonight instead of four. So we're glad it's not the May hearing. So tonight, the Stream Corridor variance, 714 Dayton Avenue, or Treehouse. So the location, this is in the sort of far southwest corner, so Dayton Avenue, so close to the city limits. This is a little better location view. You can see the lot is set back from the street, and this squiggly back property line is following the creek. And then the zoning, and this really shows you why we're here tonight. So there's driveway, house, and then most of the backyard's in the stream corridor, which drops fairly steeply down. The stream corridor edge is typically set at the top of the bank, so that's usually a pretty good indication of the buildable area versus the slope. And so that blue area is actually part of Chehalem Creek, or at least a feeder into Chehalem Creek. So the request is approval of a stream corridor variance, and this would allow a treehouse to remain in the stream corridor overlay. So the process, this is kind of an unusual application. It's not a subdivision or design review or zone change like you're more used to seeing. The stream corridor is meant to remain in essentially a kind of a natural state as open space. But there are some provisions that allow some development. For example, there's existing development in parts of the stream corridor that was already there when the overlay was put down, and so there's some provisions that allow you to expand things slightly or put utility lines in. There's no outright provision for allowing new structures, but there is a variance provision. And the variance doesn't move the boundary, so the boundary remains in the same place. But it does provide for a small amount of development if you can meet the criteria, and then we'll go through essentially what those are. But process-wise, it's a staff recommendation. The final decision is by the Planning Commission. So you're not making a recommendation to council. You're actually making a decision on this case. So this shows the approximate location where the tip of the black arrow is. I'm not sure it's exactly hitting the tree, but it's very close. And of course, because there's trees, you can't really see down below, but it shows you the site. This is what the treehouse looks like. So it's a raised platform. It's primarily supported by trees. There's one good-sized post supporting it. Sorry, that's something seems to be wrong with the front projector. It looks a little grainy and odd. However, I think it's clear enough you can see there's a platform with the treehouse, and then there are stairs going down to it. Looks a little clearer on the other one. But one thing I would point out about the stairs going down to it, those are actually supported by posts, so they're not resting. They aren't essentially carved into the dirt. So there's very little excavation that was actually done for this project. And that's actually a very good part of the steps. They're not cut into the slope. All right, so the stream corridor variance criteria, so it's a type 3 process, which means it has to go to Planning Commission. And there's really two criteria. The first is a stream corridor impact report needs to be submitted, and there's standards for what needs to be analyzed, and that was submitted in the application. And it's looking at the habitat values, the flora and fauna, soils in the stream corridor, and then there's a series of criteria that have to be addressed within that, which have been addressed in the application. And really what that's looking for, it's sort of a two-part. One is a snapshot. What's the stream corridor like now? And what's proposed, describing the impact? And then what's the mitigation? What's being proposed? to compensate for the impact. And then the second criteria that's listed there is really kind of the overall criteria. It's saying weighing the impact and weighing the mitigation, will it on balance result in equal or greater conservation of the functional values of the stream corridor? So just summarizing the application, the projected impact is that about 300 square feet of the stream corridor area is impacted by the stairs and by the treehouse. There was no fill placed on the site. It's a fairly steep slope, you could see from the pictures too, so it would have been difficult to place fill. There was a minimal amount of excavation. They did have to dig holes for a few posts, but it's fairly minor. And they didn't remove any trees. So overall, it was actually a pretty low impact of the stream corridor. This was not an example of somebody excavating a path, cutting into the slope, and moving quite a bit of dirt. So most of the stream corridor is more or less untouched. The ongoing mitigation effort, they've been removing non-native plants, so the typical lots of blackberries and English ivy. So they've been removing that from the site and planting native plants. And the condition that we came up with was based on some wetland mitigation standards. Sometimes they require a 1-to-1 mitigation or 2-to-1. 3-to-1 is a fairly strict standard. But we thought that was applicable for the stream corridor. So we put a condition that should have at least 900 square feet of mitigation area done before we could consider this finaled. So the conclusion for the overall sort of on the balance criteria was that with the proposed mitigation, that we thought the project would be consistent with the purpose of the stream corridor regulations and would result in equal or greater protection of the resource. So staff recommendation would be to approve Planning Commission Order 2016-22, and the condition, the actual wording of the condition instead of my summary, is that the applicant shall contact the Planning Division and arrange an inspection of the site when at least 900 square feet of the stream corridor area has had invasive species removed and native species planted. And this inspection must occur and be approved by the Planning Division within a year, by June 9th of 2017. And if not, then this approval would be void and the treehouse would need to be removed. So they've already done some mitigation. We weren't sure of the exact extent, so we thought we'd put an amount out there that would be adequate and put a timeline by which it would need to be completed. The applicant actually mentioned in their application that they intend to mitigate up to 5,700 square feet, which really it would be their entire stream corridor area, but we thought that was really should be considered aspirational. It would probably take a team of 20 people working for quite a while to remove blackberries and English ivy, so we thought the 3-to-1 ratio was a fair number. So that's the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Commissioners, any question for staff? Okay, seeing none, we're going to open up public testimony. We'd like to hear from our applicant tonight, Mr. Andrew Parker. Mr. Parker, as you sit down, if you could just press that button on the right there to get the red light on, that way we can hear you.
I'm not sure I want to do that, but I really don't have that much to say other than that, okay, I made a mistake and built a treehouse. I can assure you this was for my kids and for family use only. It will be won't be showing up on Airbnb any place, anything like that. You know, we started the mitigation actually prior to building the treehouse, and the addition of the stairs actually made the area more accessible, and we were able to increase our mitigation efforts. And we've put several dozen trees down there. The biggest problem we have is the deer keep eating them. But I really don't know what you're looking for. The size is based purely on the recycled materials that we acquired to build the tree house. And it, like I say, it's just for recreational family use only. So if you have any questions, I would be glad to answer them.
Commissioners, any questions? Any questions of Mr. Parker, commissioners? Very good. Thank you very much. Staff, your final recommendation?
The final recommendation would be unchanged. It would be to approve Plan Commission Order 2016-22 as conditioned. I won't read the entire condition over again.
Very good. We're opening this up at this point for the Planning Commission's for deliberation.
Mr. Chair, it seems pretty straightforward to me that this project meets the two criteria as stated, and it's very straightforward. So I would move that we approve Order 2016-22 as conditioned.
Very well. Do we have a second? Commissioner Bliss seconds. Do we have any discussion? We have a motion on the floor. Seeing, hearing no discussion, I'll call for the question.
Alan Edwards?
Yes.
Jason Dale?
Yes.
Kathy Sturr?
Yes.
Noel Torres?
Yes.
Ron Wolf?
Yes.
Gary Bliss?
Yes.
Very well. Let it be known that we passed this unanimously. Congratulations to the Parker family and constituents. You have our blessing. Enjoy improving that that corridor and enjoy the treehouse. Thank you very much. Very well. Now, moving on to our next agenda item, I had approached our director, Doug Rux, a couple weeks back and asked him about reconsidering some of the code and regulation as it was written, seeing as how we no longer have a planning department. We have a economic... Community Development Department. So there needed to be some changes in that. And then I also asked if we could reconsider some of the rules and regulations as pertain to planning commissioners and in our roles. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to our community director, Doug Rux. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug Rux, Community Development Director. So what we have before you tonight is a resolution that amends the Planning Commission guidelines and rules. These were developed back in 2011 and then adopted in early 2012. And so really, they're the operating principles of how you as a body function and work. They relate back to the city charter, where it's identified and created the Planning Commission. But as the chair had indicated, the document, when it was prepared, the department was called the Planning and Building Department. And with the change that occurred in February of 2015, that's long ago, isn't it? We had not updated the particular document. And so we went through, so as you can see in your summary, we went through and changed all the references to Planning Director to Community Development Director. Under the proceedings, which is under section 2.9, and I should note there's attachment 1 in your packet, which is the track changes version, so you can see every place that we made a modification. Under the old rules is that the city recorder used to come and take the minutes for all of the meetings, and given modifications within the organization, the planning division out of the Community Development Department now does the recordings on those on these particular meetings, so we needed to update that piece. There was a piece that was referred to in Rule 5.1, and it had a reference back to the charter to a section that had nothing to do with the Planning Commission. So when there was a renumbering system that was done, this one got overlooked somehow, or occurred renumbering after the rules were adopted. I couldn't quite figure that one out. But we needed to make the correct citation back to a different chapter in the municipal code, so we made that change. And then under Rule 7.8 is, again, it updates the reference to the Community Development Department from the former Planning and Building Department. Also in the table of contents, there were several sections that were missing. One of those addressed the mayor as the ex officio member of the Planning Commission. It was in the document, but was not in the table of contents. The Student Planning Commissioner, now we currently do not have one, but we are recruiting for one. So Luis got his award at the last city council meeting, and he will be off going to college in the fall. And then the last piece was the Planning Commissioner training. Again, it was in the document, but was not in the table of contents. Beyond that, we did not make any technical changes, and so these were relatively minor in nature. So with that, the staff was recommending that Planning Commission adopt Resolution 2016-320, which adopts the amended guidelines and rules. It's probably important to note, we didn't change anything in the guidelines. It seemed to be operating well. It was still clear. It was still relevant.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Rocks? Very good. Open up for deliberation.
Mr. Chair.
Chairman Bliss.
I move that this commission adopt Resolution 2016-320 as recommended by its staff.
I would second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Seeing and hearing none, I call for the question.
Alan Edwards?
Yes.
Jason Dale?
Yes.
Kathy Stirr?
Yes.
Noel Torres?
Yes.
Ron Wolf?
Yes.
Gary Bliss?
Yes.
Very good. Motion passes unanimously. I again am going to turn this over to Doug Rux. He had a letter, and I'll let him go ahead and outline the letter that he received.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I think first I'll kind of go through the updates that we had from the council items, and I'll kind of work through because there's several pieces in the packet. So for your monthly update, back on May 16th, the City Council approved our contract to purchase new permit software. So the system that we use now is for basically the building division, and that is through the state, through the building codes division, but it did not work for planning or engineering. We have some old software for our business licenses, and through what we have in the current system, we can't download that into our financial software. So with the new software, it will cover building, planning, engineering, business licenses. We'll be able to download every night to Springbrook, our financial software, so it should be more efficient. We should be able to track things a lot better. And also, I forgot, there's code enforcement is another module in that. So all of these pieces will now be able to talk with one another, where before we had one-off systems, things didn't talk to one another. As Bobby and Michelle in our office know, I often have to ask for somebody to create a spreadsheet based on data that's in a system because we can't get reports. So that's a real step forward. It's also a council priority to have one kind of platform system that works for a variety of departments within the city organization. We also had the council approved new banners for George Fox University, so their 125th anniversary. So there was a new design. So where there have been the four seasonal banners that have gone up for a one-year period, starting probably in July, new banners will go up. They'll be up for 1 year, with the caveat that they do come down for the Special Olympics, they come down for the holiday decorations, but you'll see one consistent design basically from George Fox on the banners for a one-year period. After that, then it'll rotate back to the seasonal banners. At our meeting last Monday night, the council approved a resolution supporting a transportation growth management grant application that we are submitting, which will be submitted by 4 p.m. tomorrow, the deadline. That will be a grant. We're asking for $200,000 from the program. It's the same program that's funding the downtown plan. And this is to address the riverfront district. So with the bypass coming through, so the riverfront plan was adopted in 2002. With the bypass coming through, it basically threw that plan aside because it won't work given all of the understandings at the time. We've also had the mill closure that occurred in late 2015, early 2016. So we put together a proposal to redo all of that. So take the old riverfront area, expand it, include all of the West Rock mill site, and then go a little bit further north to pick up to 9th Street, so kind of the southern residential area from downtown, and look at that particular area for land use and transportation, mix of uses for employment, residential, open space. We do have the landfill, the old landfill that's down along the river. How could that be used? How can that tie into Ewing Young Park? How does that tie in to Rogers Landing and the boat ramp? So we're going to keep our fingers crossed that we're going to get that grant award. And if we do, we're anticipating kind of kicking that project off in April of 2017. Marijuana. So two-step process in front of council on this one. But they did adopt the ordinance on wholesalers, retailers, research certificates, and laboratories on Monday night. That took effect on Tuesday morning. We got our first Lux form for a retail establishment on Tuesday. I believe it was, wasn't it, Bobby? Yeah, it was Tuesday. So thank you for everybody's due diligence in going through that. Just as a reminder, you're going to get to touch it one more time. And that'll likely be later in the summer. We've got to come back and do some reconciliation between what's all been adopted and new laws that came into effect in 2016 by the legislature. The last piece, budget. City Council approved the budget in its entirety on Monday. Important piece for us is that we had proposed adding one additional staff position to help us do planning and economic development work, and that got approved. So we'll be going through recruitment process with the goal to have somebody on board in October of this year to help with the workload. So that's a recap of those pieces. You had in your packet, as I indicated, I was going to try to keep a running list, and the chair and I had talked about this when you took over, of upcoming activities. And so tonight you had the items on the agenda. Reminder, you have your joint work session with the City Council on the downtown plan on the 27th here in this room. It's scheduled for 2 hours. Steve and I have gone through the PowerPoint presentation that the consultant has prepared, and he'll be making some modifications. But we'll walk you through everything that we've done. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions, and it'll be the gear up as they start to draft the plan.
Commissioners, he's referring to page 79 of 86, if you'd like to look at it while he is going over these points here. And Noel, Ron, I know Ron is familiar now. Noel, when we get our packets come out, always suggest if you have a binder that you can put them in, you can put tabs to kind of separate each segment of the meeting. That way you can kind of track it a little bit easier. I'm sorry, Doug. Go ahead.
That's okay, Mr. Chair. Transportation system plan update, July 14th. So we don't have any hearings scheduled that night, but it has been a while since you have looked and gotten an update on the transportation system plan. We have new members who are not familiar with it. So Jessica and I talked. It would be good to give you a refresher. So our consultant will be coming in, walking back through that to get you up to speed, because we are moving towards the official adoption process. So it will be coming back to you in a month or two for your review and a recommendation onto the City Council. In August, we're looking at August. Could be a busy meeting. The thrift store rezone comp plan may or may not come forward. We may only do the lot line adjustment piece and hold off on the comp plan rezone and wait until we go through the UGB work, because we're going to be looking at where we might need to upzone, change zoning on property in order to meet housing target numbers and so forth. Steve's working on a cell tower, so that's tentative. And the marijuana regulations. Right now, don't have anything in September, October, but November will become a big one, because that's when we'll come back to you with the Newburgh Downtown Improvement Plan for your recommendation to go to the council in December, with the goal to get that project all wrapped up by the end of January of 2017, which will then lead into, nope, no yet, but there'll be recommendations that come out for next steps for Steve to work on, so Full Employment Act. I've also kept the kind of the short list. We have a much longer list internally, but things that we're looking at that we may bring forward. I know that the last meeting we had talked about the land division regulations based upon a case that was brought forward, which kind of is a good segue into the communication we received from Mr. Currier on the Ella Court subdivision. And so he requested that we forward all of this, his material, on to the Planning Commission. So we have done so. So this was, and Steve may know more than I do, but this was a subdivision that was done at the time that the city allowed the provisions for private streets. And in there, it required that you could not park on the private street. So there had to be signage that went up. It appeared that maybe signage got taken down at some point in time. People are parking on the street. We talked about it, and it's an enforcement issue from the fire department perspective. Because they've got to be able to get their trucks, their apparatus, into that roadway in case there's an emergency service need. The signs are back up now, so it does say no parking. I'll have a conversation with the fire chief about this. But it just kind of gets back to this issue of, you know, regulations were written one way in the past, development occurred. How do you go about that enforcement in the future? And then as we look at the land division regulations, as you've directed us to do, looking at that, and then, of course, kind of throwing in this parking issue, street parking, or on-site parking, and how does that all work? We don't have the answers to all of that yet, but it's something that we will be looking at. So that is my update.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Bliss.
Doug, what are the consequences, or what's the enforcement of the no parking if someone violates that?
That's what I have to talk to the chief about. I don't have that. I don't know yet.
We have nothing in the...
Well, it's really not... I need to start the conversation with the fire chief. And then I need to have the conversation with our code enforcement. This came in, I got it in the packet, but I haven't had that chance to sit down and talk with people yet about how the enforcement should work in this situation. Because if it applies here, it applies to many other private streets that were approved in the past, and are people parking on those? It happens to be that Mr. Currier raised this issue for us to take an investigation on.
Why is this different than someone, someone parking in a yellow zone or on a public street?
Because it's not a public street.
Well, I know it's not a public street, but I mean,
so the police
can't duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck.
It's not a public street, so the police cannot enforce. The condition, I believe, came out of, because it was not a full-width public street, it was narrower, that the fire department needed the minimum 20-foot access to get into that. So sometimes these private streets got parking on one side and no parking on the other. Sounds like this one had no parking on both sides. So, Commissioner, I just don't have all of the answers.
So there's nothing in the city code that covers this, then?
I will ask questions to find out.
Oh, okay.
Out. Well, I haven't done it. I haven't got there yet.
Right. Understood. Thank you.
Any other questions from our commissioners? Mr. Olson?
I was just going to add on. This is I think this probably went in a couple years before I started here, so it's been a while, but it's 12 years. So maybe this might be in the 15 to 20 year range, but it's actually an example of how codes can change, because our codes used to allow private streets, and we probably have a dozen private streets around town. Most of them aren't very large, but there are private streets, and it was seen as an ongoing parking enforcement problem because the regular traffic codes that the police enforce are all written for public right-of-way. And so it was an enforcement issue. And so the development code was changed because of that. So that's why we don't allow private streets anymore. So, you know, there's enforcement issues, but then there's also things you can address through changing the code. So,
Mr. Chair. Doug, do you think the two issues here, being the private street parking and the development in question from our last meeting, fall into the same sorts of rules, or would it have to be two separate rules drafted for that, or, you know, is it kind of apples and oranges, or what?
Commissioner, I believe it's an apples orange thing. Here are the regulations. I haven't found the regulations that existed at the time that this one. I looked for the staff report. I'm still trying to find it in the system to see what it said and what those requirements were. But it's a private street. The other situation that was brought before you is a public street, and so that's different in the fact of how do we look at parking requirements. Steve and I talked the day after your last meeting, and from an experience perspective, I worked at a location where we had issues about parking off street for single family residential because people were filling up their garages with stuff. And so they had a couple of kids and themselves, and all of a sudden they had 2, 3, 4 cars. And so then people were on the street, and then the neighbors would say, well, everybody's parking on the street and it's not safe because my kids play in the street, which I always raise a question why. So in that situation, what we did is, where here we allow a garage space to count towards a parking space. So if you had a single car garage, you had one space in the garage. If you had a space in front of the garage, you've got your two, you met it. In my history situation is we changed that to say garages don't count towards off-street parking. So that then changes the design style of home so that you actually have to have a driveway that's either long enough and wide enough to accommodate two vehicles. So when we go forward, when we look at all of this, we'll take that into consideration. So that's why I think it's a little bit of an apples and an orange right now between what's in your packet tonight and what you looked at last month.
Any other questions? Follow on? Any? Okay. Very good. Well, I would like to commend Mr. Rux and Mr. Olson on their efforts. It seems like we're heading in the right direction as far as the communications between departments. For those commissioners, I know Commissioner Bliss and Commissioner Sturr have served as chair already. As chairman, you'll be a part of the mayor's cabinet meeting, which meets on a monthly basis. And at those meetings, you get a chance to hear from the other departments as to what's going on, gives you great insights. At this point, I don't really have any great nuggets of wisdom to share with you from those meetings other than we have some fabulous speakers that come in and educate us on what's going on around and about. Kathy, do you have anything you'd like to share from those meetings? Kathy is also on another commission and serves at the pleasure of the mayor at these meetings as well.
It's a very slim margin.
Okay. Well, again, welcome, Noel, Ron. Great to have you guys on board. This is a very complex commission when you consider the amount of information that you're going to be inundated with. And you will have a brain that just feels like it's like this at times when you get these packets like this in the mail that you try to understand and absorb. But we have a great staff that helps us to go through that. We don't expect you to know every detail. We're well balanced on a commission as far as experience, and we have each other to draw upon. I'd also asked Mr. Rux to consider getting Truman Stone back in to kind of give us a little update on responsibility as it pertains to public hearings, what we can and cannot do, what we can and cannot say. It's always a good refresher. Doug, one last question to you. As a commission, years past, you know, we have had an opportunity to go down for an educational time down in Salem when they have the state meeting for commissioners. Is that something that will be available or in the budget?
Yes, there are funds in the budget for several of you to go get some additional training.
Very good. So that's always a good thing. You know, we usually will come together and travel down together and have a good day of training and then go out and get something to eat later, but we'll have that in the future. Any other comments from commissioners before we close this meeting?
Staff has one. So you have at your table tonight a lunchbox and a water bottle. Has the City of Newburgh logo on it. So these were provided to staff as part of our annual, it's more like a kind of a safety reward component. And so we wanted to make sure that you had one as well for your outdoor activities.
Is this a warning of meetings to come?
It may, Commissioner, it may.
Is the value more than $5?
I do not know.
You do not know. Okay, everybody, now you have to declare
this. We declare that it was under $5.
Well, under $5. You have to remember from the state's ethics is gifts cannot be accepted that or have a value of $50 or more from an individual or organization in a year. So that's something that we as practitioners on a daily basis have to be very cognizant of, but you should as well.
Well, we appreciate the payment for our services as a commission, Noel. You have cookies on the back table. They have upgraded the quality of cookies over the years, which is very good. They actually have chunks of chocolate chips and nuts and raisins at times, so they're very healthy. We have a healthy brand of oatmeal as well. So seeing as how we have no other substantial comments, we'll go ahead and draw this meeting to a close. So we are adjourned.